We have a church, we have a map. The sermon this morning is Remember and Repent. This is a map of the seven churches of Revelation. If you do not know, John wrote from the island of Patmos. He wrote about seven different churches. It wasn't really John writing. It was actually the Spirit of God. In fact, Jesus, if you have a red letter Bible this morning, the Bible, the words of God that we're getting ready to read are written in red, because this is actual words from Jesus sitting at the throne room of God that were delivered to John to seven different churches. Somebody say seven. Now, the church this morning that we're going to be looking at is the church in, if you see on the map, the Ephesus was a seafaring church. It was right at the end of the empire. We have several different churches, but this one was Ephesus. It was the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire. It had over 250,000 people. And they're like, what? You know, when we think of New York and it's like 8 million, we're looking at an area of people about the size of the Houma Thibodeau area, about 250,000 people. But that was a lot of people back in the day. And so the church was incredibly influential in the city of Ephesus. It was the gateway to Asia Minor. And so the gospel had been spread from Ephesus to the rest of the region. Now, the church was founded by the Apostle Paul. Somebody say Paul. Paul founded this particular church. In fact, he stayed there for 3 years and sort of discipled and mentored the church. Many would say that Timothy, you might have read a letter of 1st, 2nd, and 2nd Timothy, was the lead pastor at the church in Ephesus. The Apostle John later lived in this city as well. So we have great church figures like Paul, like Timothy, like John, that lived in Ephesus, oversaw the church from Asia there. And Revelation chapter 2 was written to the church directly, not just symbolically. You can look at it and say, okay, that's a symbolic, that would be fine. But also there was a church at Ephesus that was real. There was a real congregation of people that met, and Ephesus was the center, not just of Asia Minor, but it was also the center of worship to foreign gods. You might have heard of Artemis, Diana. They worshiped her. One of the largest pagan temples in the ancient world was at Ephesus. The Temple of Artemis was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. In fact, that's one of the seven wonders that we see. Witchcraft, sorcery, occult practices were rampant in the city of Ephesus. In fact, in Acts chapter 19, you remember this, new believers that were witches went into the middle of the city and they burnt their scrolls, and it was worth millions of dollars. That happened at Ephesus when they got saved. The gospel caused economic disruption to the church at Ephesus. All of the idol makers were getting upset, and they were a little bit disgruntled because all of a sudden they weren't selling as many idols as they were because of Jesus, the Christ, and the church at Ephesus. Ephesus, the city, was spiritually hardened, yet the Ephesus, the church, was one of the best churches in history. Somebody say amen. Now, Jesus praised the church in Revelation. He praised them for all things. They rejected false apostles. They were theologically sharp. That means they sort of listened to the word of God. They were like the Bereans, right, in the book of Acts. And it says they studied the scriptures. They could spot error. They endured persecution. They went through tremendous persecution, and they stayed faithful. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. It says this: to the angel at the church in Ephesus write. Now remember the words of Jesus, the Christ, not John, Jesus. It says the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know your works. You toil and your patient endurance. I love this. Jesus starts with goodness. He starts with, I see what you're doing. I see how you're living. I see what's going on. I've seen how you've walked in the middle of the church at Ephesus. I see how you walk in the middle. And he says, I know your works. I know your toil. I know your patient endurance and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call them as apostles and are not. So again, A plus, church at Ephesus. You're doing well, church at Ephesus. It says, and found them to be false. In verse 3, it says, I know that you are enduring patiently. Some of you in this house this morning might be enduring patiently, waiting on the Lord. And you've been waiting for months and waiting for years. And God says, I see you and I know you. That's what he's saying this morning to the church at Ephesus. He says, I know you are enduring patiently. I know you're bearing up for my name's sake. And you have not grown weary. A plus, church. You're doing good, church. It was like a voice, like a trumpet telling from the heavens, Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, that was founded by Paul, that was pastored by Timothy, that even John, the beloved, visited. You're doing a good job. I see what's going on in your life, and you're enduring. Somebody say enduring. There's a reward for those who endure. There is a reward for those who keep up the good fight, who finish the race, who don't go weary in well-doing. The Bible says every word that's coming from the mouth of Jesus is praise. His voice to the church is the risen King, and he's doing a spiritual inspection, and he says, so far, you're doing good. And then comes verse 4. He says this, Jesus, even though we can be enduring, even though we can be working, even though we can be having the mission of God as forefront in our life, in verse 4 it says, but I have this against you. Like so many of these churches in that we saw on the map in Revelation, there would be some goodness, but then there would be some correction, right? Like, we correct those that we love. I hope you do. I hope that sometimes when your child is acting like a fool, you have some correction, not because you hate them, because what? You love them. Because you don't want them to act like a fool, because what they'll do when they're little will be tremendously multiplied when they're bigger. So I'm correcting the issue right now because I love you. So Jesus comes to the church and he says, you're doing good in the first 3 verses, and you're enduring and you're working patiently and you haven't given up. Hey, you're still in the church building this morning, right? He's saying, go for it. Keep on. But I have this against you. It's necessary that he corrects them. And this is what his correction is. He says, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Now that sounds a little different. It wasn't like they were in gross sin. It wasn't like they were in gross addiction. It wasn't like they had done something that was one of the Ten Commandments and they had broke them. All he says to the church at Ephesus is, he says, you used to love me and you used to enjoy me and you abandoned the love that you had at first. You ever been in love? You ever remember this? My husband will always say this. Remember whenever, I don't know if young people do this, remember whenever you're on the phone and you would simply just breathe on the phone because you had nothing else to say but breathing? I don't know what they do now, text messaging, I guess, or snapping or whatever, but us old people in the room, you remember that? Remember when you would listen to the breath of your love and you would say, and it didn't matter if you fell asleep on the phone, like literally you would take the phone, remember, with the wires, and you would bring it into another room so nobody could hear your conversation because you were in love. You remember that kind of love? And like, you didn't want people, and you didn't have a cell phone to go into that place, so you would lock yourself in and all your family would be like, give me the phone, and you were in love. You were in love and you heard your lover's voice. Remember that? And you would, it's all all you could think of, and you wouldn't want to. You would wait. You couldn't wait to be with him at the end of the day. It was only you two, and nothing else mattered. It was the love at the first part of your in at your relationship. I remember when Ted and I were dating, and we were in love. We went to Fogo de Chão. My dad paid for Fogo de Chão in Baton Rouge, and we were going. There's like this beautiful like mall thing out there, and like you could just walk the cityscape. And he said, "Tara, whatever you want, just buy it." That was love. and so I was sensible. I was like, I think we're headed towards marriage, and his money is my money. We're not doing that. But in my mind, we were in love. We were in love. You'll buy me anything. We'll talk about anything. We'll just look at each other. And even that is enough because we were in love, right? It was the love at the first part of your relationship. He would pay for anything. Now we're like, yeah, we got a budget. And so we would do anything. We would be at our best because we were full of a fullness for each other. But do you remember when you used to love Christ? Do you remember when you were first saved? I do. I remember I was a young person, went to a conference, and I remember singing, "Our God is an awesome God," for 2 hours. And it was like a minute because I was in love. I knew I was empty. I knew that the Lord had saved me from my sin. I knew that I had dedicated my life to him. I realized the price that he was paid. And it was nothing for me to sing, "Our God is an awesome God." And there was no chorus or verse. There was only the chorus. There was no verses. It was just over and over again. I remember singing that to the Lord. I remember as a teenager when I would write in my journal and I would talk about the things of God. I remember who I was before Christ, and then I remember who I am because of Christ, and I see the difference that was in my journal. I remember when I would eagerly read the Word of God. I would start in the book of Ecclesiastes. I don't know why. I would just start there. Everything's meaningless. It made a lot of sense to my emo self, and so I was sitting there, and I would read the Word of God. It was all I could think of. I remember when I was at South Terrebonne High School, and I would go into the courtyard, and I would remember looking at the 1,000 kids that were on campus and thinking, my goodness, Lord, you if they don't turn to Jesus, it won't be well for them. I wanted to win them to Christ because I was in love with Jesus. I remember showing up at the flagpole every day at South Terrebonne High School just to pray for the people on my campus, and it wasn't a chore to me. It was the delight of my heart was to serve in any capacity. I remember being at Nicholls State University, and I couldn't speak. I was timid and shy. I would blubber all over the place, but I could pick up chairs. And I remember being at our college campus ministry, and there were chairs, and nobody else wanted to pick up chairs. And I remember after service, me and another student, we would take all 60, 70, 80 chairs, and we would take those folding chairs and do the work, and then we would vacuum. And it wasn't a big deal because I loved Jesus. The serving came out of a heart of generosity for my King and for my Lord. I began removing things. You remember that? Like, I love the Lord, so I began to move music out of my life that didn't honor him, and I began to take away thought processes and addictions and cursing and things that were dishonoring to the Lord because I knew my relationship with God would come first. And the list goes on for each one of us in the room this morning. Remember when you first loved him. In Ephesians chapter 2, stay in Revelation. I'm just going to read it to you this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 9. It's the same church. It's the church at Ephesus. Paul's writing the letter. Remember, he was the pastor of this church. He was sort of in charge of this church as well as Timothy. And here's what Paul says in Ephesians 2. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." Remember that? And it says, "And you walked in the following course. You walked with the world. You followed the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now work in the sons of disobedience. among whom once we all lived in the passions of our flesh. We carried out the desires of our flesh and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, but God. Somebody say, but God. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with us, even when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places of Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show you the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us and Jesus Christ. For grace you have been saved through what? Through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the what? The gift of God. You should know that this morning. Not a result of work, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember. Therefore, what? Remember. Somebody say, remember. Remember. Church at Ephesus, of what Christ has done, is what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2. And he says, remember of who and what I've done and how you worshiped me. And remember, in Revelations chapter 2 and verse 5, same church, different person, same words. It says this in verse 5. It says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. So again, you had the love at first. You lost that love. And here's what Jesus says. If you're in the building this morning and you have lost your love for Christ like you used to. And I think all of us have been in this place at one point or another in our lives. Things happen, life happens, and we go through the motions, but the love that we used to have is not there. And you ask yourself this morning, what should I do, Tara? How do I go back to those places? How do I go back to the places? Here's what Jesus himself says to the church at Ephesus in verse 5. It says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. So that means that you were at a place and now you're at another place. In order to fall, you had to have been in a level, and instead of going to the next level, you didn't just decrease, because there's no just sitting still and being stagnant in the kingdom of God. What happens is the enemy will tell us, oh, you can stay stagnant or you can just stay at this level. But what tends to happen is we lose the love that we had at first and we fall. Somebody say fall. And so we have to understand, if you had a place and then you fall off of the place, you have to remember how to get there. You ever lost your keys? I lost my keys. I'm a woman. And so on all the men, that was your chance, men, to say amen. And so you lose your keys. Come on, you know that. And so what do? You remember, right? Where did I put the keys? Like, I remember at a location or a place, and you trail back and you move back. And one time I left my cell phone at Zen, and I was like, where in the world is that cell phone? And so I remember, and I try to go through all the places till I get back to the place where, wow, there's my cell phone on the ledge of the window at Zen. And I call them up and I say, I think I left my cell phone. Yes, ma'am, you did. Come pick it up. And I'm so thankful, right? What did you do? You remembered. You backtracked. And if this morning you're in a place in your life where the love of the Lord has grown cold and you are not close to the Lord like you used to be, you must remember. Revelation verse 5 says, remember therefore from where you have fallen and repent. Now, we don't like that word. You didn't come to church this morning and be like, wow, the preacher said to repent. But she did. It says, remember, therefore, from where you've fallen. So you remember and you trace and you go back and you look at it and say, that's it. I need to get that right. I need to take that out of my life. You start remembering, you backtrack, and finally you're at the place. And what do? At that place, you don't just sing kumbaya, my Lord. You say, Lord, I repent. What does repent mean? Now, this is an interesting word. In the Greek, in this particular case, the word was metanoeo. I'm probably saying that wrong. But metanoeo literally means to change your mind, to turn your inner direction, and to shift how you think and how you love. So here's what you do. You're standing at the place of remembrance, and all of a sudden you remember how far you have fallen, and you trace your steps back, and you say, this is where the love of the Lord grown cold. And I don't know what that looks like for you, because we're different in the room. And then what you do is you remember, and then you repent, and you change your mind. You turn your inner direction, and you shift how you think, how you love, and you fall on your face before the Lord, and you say, God, I repent. Not from maybe a serious sin this morning. I'm not even saying that that's not in the case, but also, Lord, I repent from letting go of my first love. God, I metanoeo. God, I change my mind. God, I turn my inner direction. God, I shift this morning. God, not only do I remember how I used to walk with you in the cool of the evenings. God, I remember how I used to lift my hands. God, I remember how I used to be glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. God, I remember when I was in a small group. God, I remember whenever I was reading the scriptures. God, I remember when I was memorizing the word of God. God, I remember when I was fasting and you broke me from that addiction, and you might have went back to that addiction this morning. Change your mind. Return to the Lord. Remember who you used to be. Remember who he is. Remember how much you have fallen and that your love for the Lord has grown cold. And change your mind this morning. Turn your inner direction this morning and shift this morning how you love and how you think. Don't just feel bad. That's not repentance. My kids will just feel bad but not change. Don't just be ashamed. Don't just say, I'm sorry. Change what you're aiming your heart at. So if you've fallen away because you aimed your heart at the world, or you aimed your heart at a relationship, or you aimed your heart at the things that don't really matter, change what you're aiming your heart at. That's repentance. See, Jesus isn't rebuking the church at Ephesus for gross sin. He is rebuking them for their drift. Let me say that again. Jesus is not rebuking the church at Ephesus for gross sin. He is rebuking them for drifting. They didn't become immoral. They became mechanical. They were serving, they might have been teaching, they were enduring, they were working. Remember all the things that he said at first, but their love for the Lord had cooled. So when Jesus tells them to repent, he's saying this, turn your heart back to me, re-aim your affection, love me like you used to. You know, whenever Ted and I's love has cooled down, not that it does, but it does, if we're honest, right? How many years are we, 15 years in? There'll be some times where we do the things, right? Like we're raising children, we're going to the games, we're doing all this stuff. And just to be honest, like sometimes our love has cooled down a little bit. What do? We remember. I remember when I first loved you. I remember when you took me on that first date to the Pelicans in the suite, and I was so enamored by the Pelicans and then him. And so I was so enamored, and I remember whenever we went on that Valentine cruise, what do? I'm remembering, and then what do? We go on another date, right? 15 years later, let's do something. Let's take a couple of days. Why? Because I want to renew my relationship with my husband. I want to make sure that we're okay. I want to make sure that we make it to the end. And just life happens, y'all. Life happens to all of us in our relationships, but it happens in our relationship with the Lord, where stuff happens and things cool off. And this morning, I believe that the Lord is saying, return and repent. And then here's what he says in the next part of the scripture. He says, do the works that you did at first. Do what you used to do. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. What did you do at first? Well, I worshiped. What did you do at first? I read the word. What did I do at first? My family, we fasted together. What did you do? I served. I did the things, Lord, but it came out of a pure heart. It didn't come out of I have to. It came out of I get to. And so the Lord is saying to you this morning, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember when your heart bled for the lost. Remember how you used to love people. Remember and repent. And do the works you did at first. Now, it's interesting, in the church at Ephesus, every church got a warning. They got a call. They got some good things. They got a call. And at the end, Jesus would say to them a warning. And every church sort of got the same warning. I want you to read it at the end of verse 5. It says, if not, Jesus says this, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless what? Unless you repent. So there was a warning, and then there was a church, and then Jesus says, all these things need to happen in your life, and if not, I will come and remove the lampstand. In fact, even in verse 6, Jesus says, yeah, this you have. He finishes off with something good. Great way to correct us, Lord. It says, you hate the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Yes, at Ephesus, but may you have the ear to hear this morning what God is saying to you, to the one who conquers. Every church ended the same way. To the one who conquers, I will grant you to eat of the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. Where did Adam and Eve start their relationship with the Lord? At the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. What is God trying to get us back to? To the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. He is trying to repent. We repent so that we get restored and we do the works that we did at first so we can get to the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. So the church at Ephesus, probably maybe you're asking the question this morning, did they listen? I always ask that question. Did the church listen? It's interesting. Some churches did and some did not. But their love had cooled. And the answer is, for the church at Ephesus, the church didn't die overnight there. In fact, in the first century at Ephesus, in the hundreds, Ephesus was a strong Christian center. They had church fathers. Like, history tells us that they were like church fathers, like Ignatius and Polycarp. They wrote about the church in Ephesus in the hundreds. In 200s, the city begins declining. Because there was a harbor. Remember that map? Can we throw back that map on the screen? There was a map. The city's on the island of Asia Minor. And so there was a map. And if you see it, there's a harbor. And that river and those waters would start filling in the harbor, sort of like us, right? Like the South Louisiana. And it kept silting up. And so what happened is to the city is that they would kill trade. There was no way for boats to come in. There was no way for it to be a harbor. And the population began to decline. In the 300s AD, you might have heard of this famous council. The Council of Ephesus was held there, showing Christianity was still present. But the city wasn't powerful. By 500 and 600 AD, the harbor in this map completely filled up, and to this day is completely filled in. The city became swampy, malaria spread, and the people abandoned it. By about 650 to 700 AD, the church at Ephesus was completely deserted, and it no longer exists. In fact, today, all you will see is ruins. Ephesus had the right doctrine. They had the right leadership. They had strong structure. But they lost their love for the Lord. And therefore, they lost their light. This morning, we're going to ask you, have you fallen away from your first love? I don't know what that looks like for you. I just know that last week the Lord spoke this word to me, repent. Not just to say I'm sorry, but to return and do the works that you did at first. Let's not be a city like Ephesus. Let's not be a people like the church at Ephesus that do the right things, but then eventually our love cools down and eventually we see the church no more. See it? The ruins? That's Ephesus. You probably go and visit it and get a lot of, visitors. but there is no visible active church. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes?